All right, welcome everybody to this episode of O365A. On tonight's episode, we'll be talking contact centers with Computer Talk. And with us today, we have Chris Barden, who's the chief pinball wizard. chief software architect from Computer Talk. So welcome, Chris. I know we had you on the show, I think it was about like 3 years ago. So what we wanted to do tonight was talk about what's going on with Computer Talk and specifically your contact center ICE product. And I know you have some things to talk about in terms of Azure communication services and AI and power models and a whole bunch of things. So what's new and exciting at Computer Talk and with the ICE product?
Well, thanks guys. It has been a couple of years. I think last time we talked, it was kind of, there were three models that Microsoft had kind of laid out. You know, there was a Connect model, which was, can you nail up a call with direct routing? And then there was Extend, which is, well, can you do that plus, you know, have some extension into the Teams client? And then Power was always this sort of nebulous thing that was going to be later. And, you know, 3 years later, it's still like Power is still kind of sitting in that later column. But you know, we're still in the first two boxes, you know. So we, you know, direct routing is a big, you know, still a big deal for us. We have a lot of customers who come to us because, you know, we can land their calls in Teams and we can land their chats in Teams, actually, is the other reason. So, you know, if you want to live in Teams, we've got you covered, right? And then there's the Extend model where, you know, now we're starting to look at, we've got the application that sits in Teams. So if people want to, you know, have their full agent experience, be a bot in Teams, they can do that. But on the Power front, yeah, that's where Azure Communication Services comes in. And what's cool about ACS, so ACS is really, we've been working with the product group there on ACS for quite a while. I actually remember being at a build 1 year where kind of had this meeting with some Azure guys saying, hey, we're thinking about building this communication services thing. They're basically looking at Twilio, right? And they're saying, well, here's what Twilio is doing. Can we do something similar in Azure? And I think I said, hey, have you talked to those guys over there working on the graph calling APIs? You guys should really, you know, be in sync on this. But what happened eventually was they built ACS as a sort of API layer on top of the Teams core. So there's the core of Teams is this set of microservices. There's a couple of conference talks that are really great at walking through this, but it's basically headless Teams. So ACS gives you Teams without identity, but you have access to things like calling and meetings and chat and all the good stuff. So we took that and kind of along with what the team provided is they gave you SDKs. You know, there's a web SDK and a Windows SDK and mobile SDKs that give you all the calling library stuff. So what we did with that is we took and we built a phone into our agent desktop. So, you know, we've always had this agent desktop tool that, you know, agents can run to handle remote call control from Teams. And so now we have the option to say, well, you can handle your calls in Teams, you can handle your calls on any DID, and now you can handle calls natively inside of ICE using ICE Phone, which is our ACS implementation. And that, you know, that's on the desktop clients, the web client. What that gives us is it's just for those customers that want the all-in-one experience where it's like everything is just it's a single app. You know, we control the endpoint now. We can give them that. We can do it as consumption billing. And, you know, when you control the endpoint, you can start doing some cool stuff. Like, I'll give you an example. Like we have customers who, you know, we have a feature in contact center. It's called, you know, it's auto answer, right? So an agent will be like sitting there off hook. They'll be ready for their next call and the call will just kind of beep into their headset. But with Teams, we still need to say like, okay, we still need to connect your Teams endpoint. So like your Teams phone will ring and you have to pick that up at least once. We can keep it, you know, keep that call going through the day, but you know, you still have to pick up that phone once. When you control the endpoint, you can control that. So we can say, no, if you're cool with it, we can just, you know, send calls straight into your headset. So it means you can save a few seconds here and there and do some interesting stuff. So yeah, ACS has been really a focus in the last couple of years. So where that's gone is we've got the full soft phone experience for calling for agents built into the tooling. It's also the whole chat stack. We refactored that. So again, in addition to handling, you know, the option for agents to handle their chats in Teams, they can handle them in direct in ICE Phone now using ACS chat. And what's cool about that is a lot of customers, like, you know, there's this idea that they want, you know, you want all your communication in Teams, right? You got your calls in Teams, you got your chats in Teams, but then what you start finding is all the chat threads that are piling up that are, you know, support chats are getting interleaved with your, you know, regular day-to-day work stuff. So in order to get that persona separation, you know, this lets you have, you know, now I can have my, you know, my corporate persona over here, and my agent persona over here, and everything, you know, everything is sort of separate. And again, it also means that now that we control the endpoint, we can do some cool stuff. Like, you know, there's the experience for inserting, you know, automated and suggested responses is a little better. So, you know, we can automatically suggest, like, hey, you might want to say, you know, reply with this. And we could do that a lot easier in Ice Phone than we can in Teams, because, you know, you're not trying to mash something into the Teams client, or, you know, we actually did it with Teams in the back end. But yeah, so it's all of that. And then that also extends to the anonymous user endpoint. So like your web chat client and, you know, those mobile SDKs I mentioned, that's where now we can have customers that say, hey, I want to embed my contact center, you know, endpoints into my mobile app. So if you're a bank, think of someone as a bank who wants to be able to say, I want to click the call button from within my app where you're already authenticated and we already know what you're looking at. I can connect you past that context in and have this sort of captive portal experience where everything is secure, everything is, you know, and everything is fast, and I can skip, you know, because you're already authenticated through the app, I can skip the preamble and just get you straight to who you need to get to. So it's, you know, it's letting us sort of rethink that experience end to end. So yeah, that's been kind of the biggest, you know, some of the biggest changes in the past couple of years.
It seems to me that the integration with ACS just allows your contact center to be integrated with whatever application speaks, whatever endpoint. Mm-hmm.
I mean that's something that's kind of been our strong suit all along, right? Is like, you know, we kind of live in the complex at Computer Talk. You know, typically contact center isn't really box software. It's not something like people don't go buy a contact center and just, you know, deploy it and not configure it, right? There's always integration with your data. There's always, you know, application flows that you got to think about. You know, when someone calls that 800 number, what do you want them to do? Like, what do you want that experience to be? How do you want to build that, you know, get them from A to B? And then how do you figure out after the fact whether you've done that right is sort of closing the loop on it. So there's, you know, there's getting people where they need to be, and then the analytics that go after it, as well as making sure that everything in the middle is as efficient as possible. So yeah, ACS is definitely helping in that way. And then, I guess the other thing to point out there is what's interesting with ACS and Ice Phone that we've done is it's complementary to what we've already got. Like, this is not saying, hey, this is the only way to go now. You know, if people want to, you know, a lot of customers still want to use Teams, and that's cool. So if you want to use Teams as your primary endpoint, you can. But, you know, use Ice Phone as a backup. So if Teams ever goes down because, you know, Entra ID isn't authenticating in your region, well, hey, you can flip that over to ACS and still be taking calls. And, you know, in the event that both go down, hey, you can flip that over to being able to handle calls on your cell phone if you need to. Like, it's about offering that choice. And what's cool is that it's not only choice for our customers as a whole, like an individual customer org, but it's per agent. Right. So different, I can have a PSTN caller and an ACS agent and it being monitored by a team supervisor, and it all just works. Right. And I can bring them all into a three-party conference if I have to. And it's got this whole idea of these heterogeneous endpoints, you know, it all just works inside of ICE.
When you're using like the ICE phone, do you have to like update presence in the agent's kind of Teams clients if they're in calls? Like, how do you handle when they are having the two separate personas?
Well, you can. And so that actually does work pretty well. So we can update, we can update presence based on condition of one endpoint or the other. Typically what we do for a lot of customers, we'll sync from Teams into ICE. You know, it's the, hey, if I'm in a meeting over here, I don't want to be getting queued calls, so I can do that. Going the other way, yeah, it's something you can do if you want. You know, like if you want to report yourself, it's like, you know, don't bug me. I'm on a support call. That's doable too. And but again, no two customers seem to want to do it exactly the same way, which is why it's always a configured thing. So yeah, that's you know, and you've also got the option like with ACS, like they've, it's funny, Microsoft offers an option where you can auth the ACS using a Teams identity. And that's about the only feature it gives you, is it gives you that unified presence. The one thing it doesn't cover is billing. So, you know, ACS, unfortunately, ACS right now, and if anyone from Microsoft is listening, you should change this, is if you auth the Teams identity, you should be able to use the E5 Cal that they already have and, you know, consume those minutes as opposed to paying for call minutes just because you're using a custom client. So...
Because it's coming through the ACS consumption versus the end user. Okay.
Yeah, the identity is just, you know, what's cool about ACS is you could spin up ephemeral identities, right? So you don't need, if you've got an anonymous user coming in and they need to make a call, then it's just, you know, I can make an identity for that guy and they can make a call. It's great. It's all consumption. So it's not like I have to allocate a cal, but then yeah, authing with Teams, it's still, you know, billing per minute. So you know, but that's the model we've got right now. So we've got a couple of different models with that. You know, we can do it straight consumption. We've got a model where we bake it into pricing. We've got a model where we bake it in. It's less if it's used as a backup, but it's a different model than what, you know, your typical, like, I'm going to buy, you know, a dedicated trunk for every agent, let's say. But what it lets you do is it lets you have those, you know, that burst capacity if you need it, let's say, and you want to go with kind of variable numbers. It's just a different way to look at what you're using.
With the ACS side, sorry, hon. with the, like, how are you routing the calls into ACS? Is it like through kind of like direct routing to ACS? Mm-hmm. Is it like you can bypass the PSTN side and talk directly to ACS through APIs? Like, how does that all work?
So there's two ways. So we're using a couple of different things. So yeah, our web apps are using the JavaScript and TypeScript SDKs directly. So that's talking straight to ACS. Our backend servers use the .NET calling SDKs. And then, we're routing calls in and out through direct routing. So, you know, what we actually did is our ACS model and our direct routing model are nearly identical. There's a little bit of trickery we did in getting the basically that initial agent connection that I think I mentioned, like an off hook call before, and that's the whole idea where we need to call you before we connect you to a caller. So there's some connection gymnastics that happens with us doing an inbound call from the ICE phone client as opposed to going outbound, but yeah, the end result is the same. Like, we are leveraging direct routing for ACS, and that you know, what's nice about that is it works almost identically to what Teams has. You know, so yeah, same SBC support pretty much. So we've got all that squared away. So yeah, it was really just a matter of getting the calling endpoints up.
Just as a quick follow up to that, so if a customer already has like 1,000 DIDs on their own mm-hmm. direct routing, Are they having to move that to you, or how do you plug
in? Well, they don't have to. So there's actually an interesting feature. So one of the things we have here is, so if you're talking about like inbound numbers, like inbound contact center numbers, one of the things that we've done, actually this is something that's gotten a lot more popular in the last couple of years, is we actually allow customers to bring their own telephony through Microsoft to us. So what happens is a customer might have might have service numbers through Microsoft. They might have Operator Connect numbers. They may have DR numbers that they own that they want to kind of maintain, but they want to point those at their contact center. So what they do is we just define, we've got a global application for, this is actually using the Graph Calling SDK, but there's some talk about moving that to ACS call automation later, but what it is, it's a Graph Calling application, point those DIDs to, assign them to that app, and then that will redirect into us. So it's actually, it does inbound and outbound calling through sort of this two-headed direct routing. So, you know, one of those DIDs would, you know, come in from a carrier on the direct routing SBC through the Microsoft infrastructure into our SBC and then into the contact center. So it's a really, really easy way to manage telephony coming in like that. And yeah, like I said, it works with, you know, we're doing it actually with a couple of the OC partners now, and getting to be doing, you know, I think every week I see new you know, new numbers going in there. So it's got to be more popular.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you. Now, I think Cab had a question.
Yeah. So I was just trying to ask Chris, you know, given we're in the, I don't want to call it era, but we're like in the, you know, the really important time in, I guess, in terms of AI and all these different things that are happening. What different things have or will you guys implement the ICE around AI and integrating with large language models? And are you going to be hosting them or using something side? And is there any integrations with, you know, Copilot as well? So just had some questions around that.
Oh, wow. Okay. There's a, I guess, how long you got for an answer here? Okay. Yeah, let's go. No. So yeah, I mean, AI, it's nothing new to us, right? Like the I and I stands for intelligent. Contact center has really kind of been at the front of AI for a long time. You like, you know, everything from, you know, text-to-speech and speech rec, you know, natural language understanding. Like we've been doing this for a long time. Now, what changed a couple of years back is, yeah, large language models got good. In some ways, like, one of the ways I like to explain it is if you've ever worked with speech rec, like back in the day when you wrote a speech rec application, you had to define like a fairly rigid grammar about like, I want to be able to recognize, you know, if you're going to order pizza as a, you know, as a large, medium, small. So you're going to say this, and I'm going to I've got a slot here and I'm going to detect one of these words. And here's four or five different ways I might be able to say that. And but it was a fairly prescriptive grammar. The difference now is it's, you know, and you kind of went from that to like dictation grammars, which were saying I could say whatever I want and it's just going to transcribe. And one of the things like LLMs, it almost takes like the old intent model where I had to like model, you know, here's the NLU intents I want to get. Now it's generic in the intent detection category. So, you know, we've been messing around with LLMs for a couple of years now. So a couple of things we're doing. So actually we've got a release coming out in about a month here. The last of the code is just getting polished up. We've got things going through tests, starting to show it to some customers. But what we've done is sort of, there's two ends of what we've done with this. So the first one is we've surfaced actually all of the Azure OpenAI services in our call flow designer. So within an application, like building a calling bot or a chat bot or something like IVR even, you can start leveraging Azure OpenAI. So it's things like, if you're building a chat bot where you want to go and look up a support case, right? You can get your case number off of something, but then maybe I want to go back and look at all the support records and say, give me a summary of what the status of this case is. And now I could, you know, spit that back to the, you know, back to the caller and say, well, yeah, here's the status of things. You know, what do you need to do? You know, I can use this as a generic intent recognizer. So I can say, okay, do they want to, you know, does this person want to talk to an agent? Are they, you know, are they getting more and more upset? And what's cool about that is you can start prompting that in what looks very much like natural language. I mean, it's prompt language. So it takes a bit, there's a bit of finessing to that, but it's easier than it was to do the old kind of old school NLU stuff. So, you know, being able to surface this and one of the things that also includes, we've implemented sort of our own retrieval augmentation pipeline for that. So, you know, for small scale knowledge bases, you know, up to, you know, a couple hundred thousand documents, you know, we can do that all natively on, you know, in ICE for managing that data. You know, you can start doing things like I can query over all your, you know, your product manuals or your facts, or, you know, start answering questions, building like Q&A bots, you know. And it's interesting, we actually built this, been working on this for about a year now, kind of, you know, tweaking the tooling. You know, we're using it to help answer RFPs now. You know, so we actually trained this on that document set. We're also using it to build our, you know, for our documentation. So, you know, there's a couple of different tools in there, and then you can actually go one step further and you can build, you know, there's the custom copilot stuff that Microsoft has done. Custom copilots are actually just power virtual agents under the hood, which are bots, which we could already support. So, you know, now if you want to build a custom copilot on the Microsoft stack, you can put that in front of your contact center too. So there's a few different things you can do that's even before you talk to an agent. On the other end of it, what we've done is, you know, we implemented call transcription using Azure a while back. So, you know, you can already take all of your call recordings and say, I'm going to ship these up to Azure. I'm going to transcribe them. That's actually gotten significantly cheaper in the past couple of years. They were $1 an hour. Then they were 35 cents an hour. I think they're down to 18 cents an hour as their cost. So the cost on that has dropped dramatically over the last little while. But the LLM twist on that is we're now allowing LLM-based jobs to run on those transcripts after they're finished. So, you know, the obvious use case that we implemented out of the box is summarization. So again, I could take a 45-minute call transcript and break it down to three sentences, and surface that as a, you know, as a searchable thing. You know, that's kind of table stakes for the, for this. But the twist we put on it is we've let those jobs now be customizable. So what it turns out LLMs do really well is they understand language as well as generated. So again, if I say, take this call transcript and I want you to identify, give me the list of the top five issues they talked about on this call, list any action items you saw, extract any ticket numbers you found. And by the way, do it all in, you know, answer all of that in this JSON format. That's one LLM turn and it does it pretty well. And so now that becomes structured data that exists on top of your call. So now what we've got is this idea of an extensible contact metadata record that you can populate using large language models. So it's really like it's speech analytics for everyone. Yeah. If you go back and look, yeah, if you look at like, if you look at anybody who's in the analytics space, a lot of it is based on, you know, some data science and you're counting words, but a lot, some of them, you know, when you get down to it, it's really looking at like, if, did they say these five words? Whereas now I'm saying I want evaluate this call, this transcript holistically, you know, OpenAI, and give me a result on that. So, you know, that's sort of where we're doing things on our own. The Copilot side of it is interesting. So like right, you know, today, if you've got M365 Copilot and you're using ICE, well, guess what? You can use Copilot on your ICE calls. So your contact center agents can flip, can hit that Copilot button, get a live transcript of their call in real time, and start asking questions about it while they're, you know, while they're in Teams. You know, that's one of the advantages of using Teams for your contact center is you get some of these features will come along for free. You know, and again, if you want to, you know, if you want to do anything else with that, we're looking into some other things around Copilot extensibility. That's sort of a little further down the road, but like those. The generative AI features, you know, the ones I talked about, those are going to be available very, very soon. And I got to say, this is just the start of what we're doing here. So I think it's getting to be pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it seems exciting. Like it's just around, you know, getting out of that custom query kind of thing, you know, for like the supervisor and manager sort of thing. Like even you guys having to do it now, putting the power into them where they can create like or ask all these questions and have all this data sort of returned back to them in natural language, which is huge.
What's cool about it too is we built it so that you can experiment with it, right? So an admin can go in and say, okay, what do I want to know? You know, are my customers calling in about this, you know, about a specific product? I had a call this morning about, you know, a defect with a product. How many of those am I getting? And you can literally just ask that question, say, okay, I want to try to get a couple calls. Oh, maybe I want to tweet the prompt. Like, no, they're actually talking about, you know, model A, not model B. Get more specific. And then once you start getting the results you want after a few trials, that's when you flip it on and say, okay, now I want to run this for everything. And maybe I want to go back in time. Maybe I just want to go running forward. Because let's face it, I mean, running queries against LLMs gets expensive if you do it a lot. Right. But if you're smart about it and you're saying, well, I'm going to do, you know, for every call transcript, I'm going to do like two or three LLM operations, generate the data, but then I can query it forever. Right. That's where it gets to be a lot more manageable. And it's cool because the barrier to entry for it is pretty low. You can try it out really easily and find out what you want. Cause we tend to find that with in the analytics space, like a lot of analytics suites will give you, you know, thousands and thousands of data points. And usually contact center people want to know five things. You know, there'll be a few questions they know right away. There'll be one or two more that come up, but there are certain questions they want to answer. Like, you know, what would these people answer on a CSAT? Like here's a simulator that I'm going to say, well, okay, I'm going to calculate a virtual CSAT for this. Or maybe I want to know like, yeah, what just for all of my calls. Yeah. It's literally just, what are the action items? Like that neat feature you get in Teams now with the recaps, like that for all of your contact center interactions. And then what's actually really cool with that is because we're a platform, I define the job that says I want to extract all the action items. Then what I can do after that is I can say, once you've run that job, run this other job that runs a workflow that's going to go look at those action items, parse out whether anything has a date on it, and now I'm going to put it on somebody's calendar to go follow up on. So you can see how this starts getting deeper and deeper when you start looking at your process and putting a, you know, kind of this programmable AI into the mix and saying, well, I'm going to apply some human ingenuity to the artificial intelligence and say, well, you know, use, I'm going to use the AI to extract what I need and then say, well, how does that, you know, how does that build into my process? Right. So it's neat stuff.
What are your thoughts on the recent announcement about Microsoft Dynamics Contact Center? It's kind of a strange name because there's nothing to do with Dynamics, but they kind of just threw it under that umbrella.
They did. Well, I mean, it kind of joins, what was it, the Microsoft Dynamics Omnichannel Contact Center and the Microsoft Calling Queues and the new Calling Queues thing in Teams that they announced. I mean, look, it's interesting. They're going all in with Copilot at the front, and I think we've all seen chatbots misbehave. So there's definitely some trepidation on, you know, the way we've approached it is we said, look, we think you should, you know, you should look at keeping a human in the loop with your generative AI stuff. You know, that's why we're really focusing on the analytics side, agent assist side, and then, you know, being able to do some, you know, some generative content that you're going to be able to send out to customers. I mean, if you want to take and build a nice system where you front your entire, you know, entire ACD with, you know, a ChatGPT, like, you can do it, but you know, you have to, you know, it's a non-deterministic model, right? So your responses may not be exactly what you expect. You know, I like I said, it's not the first time Microsoft has come into this space. I mean, it's very much a point in time thing. So as you know, as of June 4th, 2024, we'll see what happens. You know, I don't know of anyone who's successfully deployed the existing Dynamics Omnichannel. So yeah, I'm not losing any sleep on them yet.
Nice.
All right. Well, Chris, that was fantastic. And I was just looking at our list of questions and topics, and I think you nailed all of them. So really appreciate the time and the insight. It's, I think it really is an exciting time to be part of the contact center community, because with AI, things like ACS, you're, as you said, you're really extending the contact center into the workflow of the business, which which is fantastic.
Yeah, like, you know, think about the, you know, the contact center tends to be like, you know, for a lot of businesses, I know a lot of our customers, you know, that's their main point of contact with their customers. You know, they get a lot of, you know, you're in finance, you're in government, you're in, you know, retail, whatever, like the, you know, contact center is a conduit for them talking to their customers. And, you know, there's a lot of data there. Right. This is their customers talking directly to them, telling them what they need, you know, either it's transactional or it's, you know, support or whatever, you know. So the more you can, you know, A, streamline that, and B, learn from it, you know, the better. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, thanks again, Chris. And yeah, I do want to get my hands on one of your pinball machines one of these days. So looks good.
Next time you're in Toronto.
All right.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.